Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello, and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have part two with Dylan Vetterell with Vetterell Soccer Academy. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
That's very cool. I think that, how do I describe it? I know clubs here, academies and clubs that won't, they can't grow because they can't find coaches that fit their mold.
Right.
And it's very sad because some of these coaches that come out and the talent that you see, like you said, they just can't coach. Or they're players that they know the game inside and out, but they can't relate to kids or even people their own age because they can't, they've never been taught that. That's impressive. I mean, that's a very detailed information. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. You don't get that necessarily from the website, but stand-up individuals that can they just happen to be passionate about soccer and they're good at relating to the youth, and they just happen to all fall into a situation where they can collaborate and work together.
Because I love coaching, but I can never coach at a high level because I can't do half the skills that I ask these kids can do. I mean, I taught basic foot skills when I was coaching and I don't have a soccer background, and that was a struggle. And sometimes I had to have my son, who was 6 at the time, come out and actually show them how to do it because I was not doing it correctly.
Well, I'll go ahead and create an adult class for you, and you could headline that for us.
Maybe.
We'll take you to new heights. Just give us 1 month, 4 sessions. We'll take you to new heights. I promise.
And that's the thing. It's, I think parents, we expect so much out of our athletes and we can't do it ourselves, but we know what our athletes are capable of. And I think that's the difference of a lot of parents. I always like listening to coaches tell me like, yeah, okay, come out here and work with us. See how long you last in our training sessions. And one coach would tell, Dennis Genus, who I absolutely have grown to admire from afar, and I've interviewed him twice now, and that was one thing he talked about, is his parents were actively involved in training sessions when he coached, especially at the younger ages. It wasn't them just being dropped off. And he goes, okay, now show me what you can, let's go do this drill. Parents, you're involved. And he goes, a parent would turn to a parent turned to me one time. He goes, how long was that? And he goes, 30 seconds. He goes, the parent goes, it felt like 10 minutes. And
God.
like parents, and I don't think parents understand, I'm one of these, how difficult what you guys actually do. Do you guys, I see most of your social media right now, and I'm like trying to think back. As you guys mostly do indoor, or do you guys go outdoor with your training sessions too?
Yeah, so over the course since I've been doing this since 2014, I was doing this solo, just myself, until I was furloughed in 2020 due to the pandemic, for my IT gig. And that was unique because then I was working from 9 a.m. to, due to it being summertime, it was light out till about 9 p.m. And I'd have a 35-minute lunch break, I guess you'd call it. It'd be a bathroom and Gatorade refill break at the gas station around the corner. So I was doing outdoors for the majority of my training since 2014. We did do a stint over the winter break at what was called Real Soccer Center, and then we went back outdoors. And then we've done some things in Coppell. The Coppell sessions on Tuesdays, those are still outdoors. That's affiliated and administered through Coppell FC, a smaller club out west. That's more of a, I worked in Coppell for 12 years. So I wanted to kind of give back. The opportunity came up. I know John Davies out at Coppell FC, very good. What a great guy that guy is. We've got a relationship with their admin. It's more of, hey, we're going to give to those. And it's not only Coppell FC players. It's open to anyone. But it just happens to be they reserve the area and the signups are through them. So they basically contract our staff. So it's our staff running the whole thing from start to finish of the training, but the signups are through them. And then since Crossbar Soccer in Richardson was bought and rebranded, it was formerly City Futsal that most people remember it as. It's been a number of things in the Richardson area, from skating rink hockey to City Futsal to I think it was soccer even before City Futsal. They initially tried to make it pickleball during the pandemic, and that fell through. And three guys came in, swooped it up, and they wanted to make it an adult pickup location where you can drink a beer and play pickup. And I wandered in and said, any chance it's 104 degrees outside that we can come inside for a couple weeks? They said, what is it you're doing? I go, youth soccer training. No thanks. Okay. Well, any chance you can just give us two opportunities? So that's 1 week. So Tuesday, Thursday, we'll just do 2 days for 1 week. Let's just see how it pans out. Sure. What hours do you need? All right, great. We got the hours locked in. It's Friday morning. I get a text or a phone call. Hey, we didn't realize the parents drink beers. What do you want them to do on the sidelines? I mean, they can text all they want, but they're going to sip on a beer if you're going to offer it to them. Not to mention the kid, little Johnny, needs a Gatorade. So you go from buying that for $1, you upcharge it to $3. There's some profit there. So they started to realize that it made sense for them. The reason why I went indoors, a lot of people just assume and think I have invested or own Crossbar. That I don't. I've just got a great relationship with the owners since that conversation. No, we go there. It's great compared to your park or your random futsal court or whatnot, in regards to safety. That's the biggest thing. It just happens that when you're indoors as well, we're never rained out. We've had to cancel twice, one being the ice storm where no one could get obviously their car to the location. Made sense.
Right.
Our coaches couldn't get there either. The second time was a touchdown of a tornado knocked out one of the power lines, and there was just no power to it. So that's been our two since they opened up in 20 or 21. Losing track on which what was the start date, but it's been great. It's something where, as a coach, I'm not worried about the kid running off to go to the restroom if they need. There's all the parents that are very involved in regards to getting their kid from the parking lot into the facility and walking them to, the door. And then once they hit the door, they know what to do, where to go, what coach to be with. So that's why we're indoors. It's been really good. We're looking at other umbrellas and avenues to create growth, because I have a number of coaches that are always willing to coach, but also eager to grow. And it like you'd see if you were at Crossbar, almost outgrowing the space. Now, don't get me wrong, we'll continue at Crossbar. It's been great. The ownership is very, very transparent, very open. They are understanding. Now they've got potentially 100 kids running around waiting on Coach Dylan to call them in to the field, and that they weren't expecting when they opened this business up. So it's been a blessing, to be honest with you.
This leads me to my next question, because I feel like indoor provides the flat surface more. As they get play at a higher level, more of the surface they'll be playing on, because the fields that these pros and colleges play on are absolutely gorgeous pitches, and some of them are our turf, but that's another story for another day. How do you feel about programs like Toca, where it kind of takes out the human element of the training session? Because to me, anyone can get a ball that's a perfect touch every single time. I know it creates muscle memory, muscle movement memory, but I make the argument, and I will stand by this until the day I die, I swear, it's not realistic.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I've used the Toca machine myself before, just in me getting some touches. A buddy of mine, either he or his friend had one of the very first ones when it was outrageously priced, and it was you had to buy it on your own versus you would go somewhere. Really, really cool concept. But at the same time, I'm about building the relationships with the players and sharing experiences when I'm coaching to motivate, pinpoint things that they've done incorrect. And I really love the human element of showing the player what it looks like. It also, it's funny when you could be Coach Eric, who plays for the Texas Outlaws, who's a current indoor professional, demonstrating something, and he pulls it off, and even he surprises himself, and the kids are going, whoa, or it could be me or Coach Dave, Coach Brian, Coach Preston, whoever it is. It's just something really special when you get to work with them. If you were to take us out and throw in just the machine, like you said, there's definitely some areas where you're going to improve, but from a holistic approach, I think you're missing a few key things.
This I ask because you're the first one I've actually had a chance to ask, because it's becoming more and more popular, and I'm actually against it. And someone asked me why, and I go, "You're only as good as the coach that's in the netted area with you, and you're only as good as the perfect pass to you every single time, because that's what it does. It gives you it's great maybe if you're by yourself getting those touches and passing the ball when you don't have someone,
Right.
but it can't give you that wonky pass that you don't even get with that weird spin, because it's coming across the pitch 50 yards away. You can't do that in a 25-foot area. It's just not realistic." And that's been my argument from day one, and no one from Toca has been able to give me a valid reason and thing other than it creates muscle memory. And I'm like, but I can go get muscle memory one-on-one and have a private coach for the same price that I'm paying for this Toca session. I don't have all the cool toys.
Yeah, I haven't taken a dive into pricing for them, or space alone, or what all it exactly offers outside of what I've really done. But I've seen a few social media posts or sponsored ads and stuff like that. So I understand where they're coming from and what they're driving. But as far as my side of everything, again, we are on turf, but I do give the player the option, because it's turf that it's not the state-of-the-art turf where it has the black beads or the wood chips and it's a little longer. but it's long enough to where you can use cleats. And we've had a lot of older players that do use cleats. Some prefer to go with the indoor or turf shoe, but the facilities allowed us to use cleats during our session. However, if you were to stay for their pickup, then it's frowned upon. And more so, not just the turf of how it could ruin it or mess it up or whatnot. It's more of on their pickup side of things of why they're not wanting to use cleats is just tackling or somebody
It's a
getting
safety
injured.
issue.
Yeah, safety. For me, it's what do you feel comfortable in? Obviously, you're going to translate from here to the outdoor game into cleats. So get comfortable in it. You don't have to wear shin guards. If you want to wear shin guards, you can, but it's all about what do you need to be mentally prepared to step into the game. If that's with cleats and getting better with the feel of the new Nike or new Adidas or Puma or whatever it is that you wear, then so be it.
I think that's key. Yeah, I think the whole being indoor is different, but at the same time, like you said, you don't have to cancel it. And I think there's a difference between playing indoor and training indoor. There's a huge difference, but receiving the ball and making good passes. I mean, unless you want to go practice at MoneyGram and pass the ball and hope it doesn't bounce 15 different ways when you pass the ball, which is that's a whole nother story for another day,
Absolutely.
but I feel like I think it allows for more for a better understanding of how the ball movement is, and things along that line. So do you encourage your trainees or your athletes to, you said you give homework, but I you have David on your staff now, and as I saw recently, and he talked about in an interview he did, do you guys incur, like he talked about understanding every t way you touch the ball has a different movement. Do you guys bring that type of mentality before he came into your group? Because I feel like you're just adding on to some great staff there that you already have doing the research before this interview. But that's
Yeah,
something that
so
stuck with me with an interview he did.
no, so yeah, it hasn't been like an official announcement, or he's a content creator, no wild TikTok post of a formerly bringing him on staff, but it's been if you read the between the lines, he's obviously been a huge contribution. We recently added in regards to your question. Yeah, how you touch the ball is very important. How you hit the ball is very important. Back to kind of what I said earlier, you have a split second to determine if you're going to push the ball out further down the line and run onto it to whip it across. Or are you going to, is your body going to fake as if you're making a run and then you cut it back the opposite direction? Body feints are huge. Body language is huge. How you open up to receive the ball is huge. Are you receiving it with the outside of your foot, the top of your foot, the sole of your foot? There's a lot to it. We do hit that. We hit that in regards to different surfaces you could use, different changing of directions. And again, it goes back to not only asking the question and having the kids answer, what are some ways that you can receive the ball in this scenario, and how would you do it? All right, great. Now, coach, show me what that looks like. Now all the kids see it. All right, we're going to work on that, but also be creative. What are some other ways we can turn that maybe we didn't bring up? And show us. Now, let's make it game realistic, but at the same time, what can you do to improve your game overall? So, yeah, that those que we ask a lot of questions throughout the process. Then it's funny, just like you would in a classroom, you get kids, blurting out the answer while, we're like, no, show of hands. Like, and then sometimes you say, okay, instead of a coach demonstrate it, why don't you demonstrate it, player XYZ? Show us what this looks like. And then you go, that's perfect. But what's another player that wants to demonstrate it that believes they can do it faster or more game realistic? And then they go, I can do it better. Okay, well, prove it. Have the confidence to step up and show us. Now, we applaud the person that stepped up to begin with. We applaud the person that wants to show us that they're going to do it even faster or better or more effective. Great. But we do ask those questions and make the players demonstrate some things here and there. But again, it goes back to the coach, having to have the knowledge of when to stop this and bring up those questions so that there's, I guess, really the players are understanding the purpose, the flicks, the tricks, the turns, the scoring, the celebrations. What's the true purpose behind all of those things? We can't answer all of that in an hour, but we do try to, hit a few of those areas.
You get it over time. I think that's the thing. Now, me as a parent, like I told you from the very beginning, I'm an advocate for personal trainers just because there's not enough time in a week for a coach to spend with a team. How often do players come? Because I like my son trains 3 days a week, and he has a skills night on another night, and then he has one or two games on the weekends, and so it literally leaves one night a week where my son has nothing that we have planned. And as a family, I try to let him have that night to do whatever he wants to do because his sister has activities.
Yeah,
And
so that goes back to as a parent and coach, what is the player shown on his goals or her goals? What are his or her short-term goals and long-term goals? And then as a parent or coach, you can evaluate to say, you want to reach that high level, you should probably consider either training extra at home or with a trainer. On top of your training with your team. With your team, the coaches can be phenomenal, but they can't impact all 18 players from the top to bottom in 3 hours in a week. If that's an hour and a half training on Tuesday, an hour and a half on Thursday, let's exclude the top level MLS Next, Academy, ECNL stuff, because that's more of a 3 to 4 days a week. If you're talking about a player that wants to get to that ECNL, short term, get to that from pure ECNL to ECNL to get to MLS. You got to take those things into consideration based on what their goals are. If their goals are, to the moon and realistically you could see that they're motivated and have passion to do that, let's go. Let's get as much time in as you can fit. Now, does there need to be both mental and physical rest days or periods? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we all need that from our everyday job, no matter the age or the sport or whatever it may be. But there's players that show up once a week. There's players that show up twice a week. I've got a particular player. She'll show up every day, every single day, every day. And it's not because they're not on a team. The mom and dad are funny. They're like, are you having training? I know you are, but so and so wants to know because they just finished training or it got canceled and they want to show up. Okay, great. The wildest thing for me is I don't ever see a drop in effort. It's for that individual. It's like she can have off days, we all do, but it's like, wow, you're very passionate about it. You want to be there, but it also goes back to those players that do show up consistently. They're noticing results, whether those results are up top in their head of just mental reassurance, or if it's actually results with their feet, whatever it may be. We have quite a few that show up multiple times a week, and it's great to see you build such a great relationship with the crew, with the groups. And man, it's awesome to see that, those light bulbs turn on in the progression. What's unique about us, not only are we training these kids, but at times we get to throw them in a stress-free environment on Sundays where we hold our youth pickup. And you go, wow, this kid is crushing our Tuesday class. Let's see how they respond when they're playing a player that's a 2011, one of the top players in the area for this team. And how do they do in pickup? and you really get to see those things. And it's not a coach, you know, breathing down their neck. It's not a referee making a call that's keeping them from lifting a plastic trophy or winning a medal that says, you know, whatever it says on the back or the front. And it's unique. It's really, really cool to see the translation, but also the excitement to go and play amongst peers where they're playing, where girls are playing boys, where boys are playing some players that are older than them, where some players are not scared to show us something new that they learned. So
It's
yeah,
awesome.
that kind of obviously ran into the youth pickup thing that we haven't touched on, but that's been
Yes.
something that is very exciting for both player and coach.
Love it. So with the youth pickup, is it only valid to your players that are using your that coming through your program, or do you open it to the public to get an idea for parents to see? Because that can be dangerous too, because I know how parents can be.
No, it is open to the public, and there are challenges with that. It's not the challenge of necessarily getting players that train other places. That's not my concern. It's determining level of what field to play on, because there's three fields. And if you're a 2011, a 2010, it sounds like you would be more on the upper end if you're an elite level player to play on that top field. But occasionally there's players that, you know, don't know what they're getting into, and it's like, oh, well, you fit more in this field. So there's movement both through the process of them coming out more and more often, as well as through the 2 hours of the session. And what's great is occasionally you have a player that comes out by themselves. Meanwhile, there's another player that brought out four of their teammates. Well, guess what? It's pickup, just like you see at the parks for youth basketball or at basketball in the neighborhoods. You may try to pick your team, but at the end of the day, you're going to play with other players. That's the really cool thing. You're not going to solely be on a team with your teammate. We change it up quite a bit. It's a format of 3 minutes on the field. Otherwise, if those 3 minutes are up and you're tied, then depending on numbers, we'll do both teams off or the longest team off. How do you win? You get either two goals, or you have one goal and the other team doesn't have a goal by 3 minutes. And again, it's just something that's constantly moving the players, shuffling them around, and they're playing fast paced in a small on a small field with smaller goals, so there's no goalies, and it's gotten some really, really good feedback. So that's great to see.
I like that. So, is there other programs you do like that, or is that the only one?
So as far as pickup, that's the only thing we do. We obviously have introduced a few things as far as possession and 3v2s, 2v2s, 1v1 stuff a little bit more as of late in group sessions, but as far as a stress-free competitive environment, that's the only thing we offer on Sundays, which is 3 to 5 at Crossbar.
Cool. Now, with the programs that you currently do offer, is it like a pa like you said that one young lady comes every day? Is it a package deal? Is it I know that some programs like you what you have, you pay a flat fee, you come as much as you want, or you pay I can come twice a week and I have, or you pay for so many sessions a month. Is it something along those lines, or is it ad hoc type deal?
Yeah, so when I first started, it was purely show up and pay for your time. And it's at this rate. And it was, like I said, it was me and 20 kids sometimes, me and four kids other times. And then 2020 hit, and I realized I'm not going to sit on my hands and collect a governmental check for being furloughed. I'm going to grow the business that I've already created. And the business was, it was very specific to days and times that fit me. I was, you know, mid to late 20s, wanting to live my life. I was away from the club coaching scene and was like, I'm going to take advantage of traveling. I still have a career I'm building in the technology field. And I still wanted to be a part of the growth of the individual player, but I don't want to spend my weekends out of the fields all the time, or I don't want to be Monday through Friday. In 2020, I really changed that. And prior, I had built a website from Squarespace, which I was a web developer, so I already knew the ins and outs of what needed to happen. So how can I take advantage of what I've learned on my 12-year career at that job? And like I said, I was 9 to 9, and we were crushing it. It was crazy hours. I was as tan as ever. It was wild. But I realized I needed help. So I reached out to a player we had got back in contact with that I used to coach when he was 6 years old till U11. And that was Coach Preston. So he was on my FC Dallas South team. He reached out and was like, "Hey, coach, I'm back because everyone's back from college and I'm in a situation where I've got some time. Are you still coaching? And what does that look like? Because if I stay back for the rest of the semester, I'm looking to get a job, but I'd rather get a job doing something that I enjoy." I said, "Okay, well, right now everything is on Zoom. So we're just doing like in the house type workouts. It's a lot of honestly like body weight training, speed and agility ladders as somebody in a garage." Once it moved outdoors, I realized, okay, well, I could utilize his time and he could make money. He came out, shadowed me for quite some time, and then from there, I'm showing up later at times because we're expanding the hours. I'm showing up later because I had a work meeting, and he's going, "So and so paid me $20." Oh, okay. So was that Johnny's mom or dad or Timmy's mom and dad? Like, whose mom and dad? Oh, I don't know whose mom was whose. Oh, well. We gotta change this business model, don't we? Because I'm not putting it on my coach to collect, and then have a checklist of who paid this. So I go, "All right, well, we're at a point where I need to update the website." Okay. So we went into the payment process. And again, for the longest time, it's just drop-in fee at the time. You show up, you're gonna get this. Now we've expanded to where we have deals, packages, subscriptions. So you can buy a package of four, and as long as you use it in this time frame, great. You have the capabilities with your order confirmation page to cancel, reschedule, whatever it may be. We have subscription-based packages, which that particular player typically uses, of it. They know they have a recurring withdrawal in their account, and they have up to this amount of trainings per month. Then we have the same type of package for pickup. Why pay this amount for the 2 hours when you can buy four or eight, and you get to pick which weekends that you don't have a tournament, you don't have a game, and just use those throughout the lifespan of the package, I guess. So yeah, long answer, but yeah, we do have deals and options, but that was kind of how it all came together.
I like that. I mean, it gives the history of it and why it is. Now, where are you guys have camps? I've seen your camps advertised. How often do you guys have camps? Is it when there's no school, or is it throughout the summer, or how do you guys run your camps?
Yeah, great question. So, most of our camps are at in the summer, and that's at Prestonwood Baptist. That happens to be the director of the soccer league there for the church. Her kids were one of the initial set of kids that joined the program years ago in 2014. I actually started the Federal Soccer Academy through training her kids, which was a unique story. But most of our camps are in Plano at Prestonwood Baptist. And then we hold camps as well at Crossbar and Richardson. And we're looking to expand that. We've had a camp last year in Hawaii. We have a camp again in Hawaii in Kona, specifically on the main island, 4th of July weekend or week, which is a very, very unique and cool opportunity. Majority are Hawaiian native. However, we had a family come over from Dallas that trained with me. And then, as wild as this was, we had a family from Seattle, Washington, on vacation, and the kid looked up on Google soccer camps while we're on vacation, and he joined. And another family from Northern California did the same thing. So I had two that I didn't know from out of state. Then I had the family from Dallas, and then the rest were Hawaiian natives that I met. And I assumed 15 kids, not knowing the program, what to expect, the level. And we had 31 kiddos, and it was like, it was just me and another coach. And I was like, wow, that's just a great way to start. And from there, next year, 31, great. We get to impact the same kids and grow, but that could be 33, where two
Right.
kids say, hey, teammate, I had a great time, join us. You never know, that could turn to 60. We'll see what this year entails.
So can I join you on that one and just cut and take
The
notes?
number of my coaches going, are we all going and is it paid for? Or some of the parents going, what day and time of year is that? Because we're really, really interested to do a family vacation in Hawaii. And you said that you'll watch our kid for how many hours?
No, it's
Definitely
yeah.
heard that one. Yep.
That's fun. So where can we find your information
Yeah, so
var
we're on vedralsoccer.com, VEDRAL soccer.com, or we're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, any of those areas. If you were to reach out, it goes to me. I am coach, I am owner, I am secretary, admin extraordinaire, I'm social media poster, I'm editor of majority of videos. I mean, it's a lot of hats. Sometimes it gets in the way of life and attention to family and girlfriend, but it's tricky, but man, it's been extremely rewarding, so that's good.
That's awesome. My favorite question to ask everyone is, who has been your greatest influence? Because I know you played and now you're coaching. Who has been your two greatest like who's been your greatest influence as a player and who's been your greatest influence as a coach?
Oh man, as a player, I've been fortunate enough to work with a number of just whether they were a great soccer coach or they knew how to push my buttons or affect me on a off the field relationship just to push me towards those goals to achieve them. It could go back to my youth. Six, or sorry, I was 3 years old, so that's U4. U4 coach, he was my coach till U10. Ironically, he's still in my life. His son is one of my best friends and college roommate. He's been great. Who else? Let's see. I've had some great coaches. I mean, I could name drop a ton. A lot of them are still impacting North Texas soccer in some manner. But yeah, I mean, there's been so many. And then as far as coaching, that was a unique experience. I got the opportunity through Aaron Gordon and Chris Hayden to reach out to somebody in FC Dallas, that got me an opportunity in the South Division. Well, that was because I grew up in the Cedar Hill area, was born in Dallas, raised in Cedar Hill, and they had a Grand Prairie Division. That's where the South would train at the time. And Eloy Rangel, who's now retired from his government job and from coaching, he was a guy that, you know, he just kept feeding me, and maybe it was something that was just more incentive for him to grow, you know, what he had down there. But he kept throwing me words of encouragement and confidence that I was good. That what I'm doing is good. It whatever it was he was doing, it's what I needed to hear. And that was huge. And just getting my career as a coach, I guess, kickstarted, and put on the correct path. And then from there, it could be a number of coaches that I have a relationship with that I may know from the beer leagues, from adult, you know, soccer leagues. To just throwing some ideas out to them or current trainers. people say competition, not exactly the case. The amount of youth athletes and soccer specifically players in DFW that are looking to reach new heights and new goals. I mean, it's crazy. It's so many players. So, throwing ideas or questions or challenges out there to those former players or coaches have been huge. I couldn't identify one. My parents were very influential in getting me into soccer. But as far as, coaches specifically, yeah, there's been a wide range. So.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Dylan is a great coach. We've had some great chats. The coaches that I know that know him personally talk very highly of what he's doing. Hearing through the rumor mills of how great his camps are, his clinics, he offers so much, and I don't think people realize. He offers training sessions, which you get to see pitch snippets of it on his social media. He works on shooting clinics. He even has goalkeeping training. He has speed and agility camps, which are awesome. I don't care who you are, every player needs them. And they're not your just run-of-the-mill speed and agility camps. Youth pickup, which is awesome to watch. There is some structure, there is a little bit of coaching involved, but it's great to go watch your player do that. He has mentorship, and he talked about that in his interview and how he has that. And he has a lot more to offer. So when you're looking at a soccer academy to check out, this is one that I would highly recommend personally because we've used it. I would highly recommend it anyways, just because of recommendations from people from I have talked to and I've ran into and what he's able to do with players. So give them a try and check them out.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.